In the Foundations of Geopolitics, Dugin called for Ukraine to be annexed. 17 years later, Putin annexed Crimea and is also arming militias to steal land in Donbass. Dugin is still involved in this process. He is sanctioned by the US Treasury because he is at the head of the Eurasian Youth Union, which is actively recruiting combatants to fight for the Russian-backed militias who are illegally occupying Donbass.
Я думаю, убивать, убивать и убивать. Больше разговоров никаких не должно быть. Как профессор, я так считаю.
In 2014, Dugin was asked what policy should Russia pursue in Ukraine, and he responded, "Kill, kill, kill. There should be no more talking. As a professor, this is how I think." Andrei Bubayev was charged with extremism and sentenced to over 2 years in prison because he reposted an article on social media claiming that Crimea is Ukraine. Meanwhile, Dugin is publicly advocating murder, and Putin didn't even give him a slap on the wrist. So, Dugin calls for Russia to annex Ukraine, and they currently occupy the eastern part of the country. Then, he recruits militants to fight for Russia, some of which are Antifa extremists. Then, he tells them to kill, kill, kill. This is terrorism, 100%. A lot of people online are upset seeing Antifa allowed to get away with assault. Well, that's nothing compared to what the Ukrainians have to deal with. In Donbass, Antifa doesn't use mace and sticks. They have assault rifles and grenades. And they're taking over cities just like ISIS is doing in Syria. The Ukrainians have a right to pick up arms and fight back.
Загинув син ваш. Я де могла бути? Тільки тут. А по-друге, не за те 5 років боролися із окупантами, щоб зараз дати. Ми такого не допустимо. Ми просто таке не допустимо.
Whitney Webb says that Ukraine is rolling out a murderous ethnic cleansing campaign in its Donbass region, and that the Russian government has responded with restraint. After Putin lost his puppet in Ukraine, Whitney is claiming that the new government is going around executing ethnic Russians who do not conform to ultranationalism. Her evidence to support this notion is even more ridiculous. Russian trolls took a video where a Ukrainian journalist said that terrorists should be exterminated and mixed that with him saying that there are too many people in the field of economics who can't be employed. Whitney then used that video to falsely claim that the Ukrainian government is planning to exterminate over a million ethnic Russians in Donbass.
Це не просто депресивний регіон, розумієте? Там настільки великий комплекс, такі грона проблем, і головніше, наприклад, тому, що там просто дика кількість абсолютно непотрібних людей в економіці, в першу чергу. Тобто їм неможливо дати роботу. Бо ця вся економічна структура, яка там побудована, вона настільки неефективна, це просто важко уявити, повірте мені.
Журналіст отреагировал на публікацію смонтированого відео. Насчет убивать. Я говорил, что убивать нужно террористов, с которыми нельзя договориться, и которые взяли в руки оружие, написал он на своей странице в Фейсбуке.
Many of you know Igor Коломойський, the Jewish oligarch who employed the Azov Battalion in the past. Near the end of this video, you'll realize that he does not care about Ukraine's sovereignty. He has his own agenda. Aside from security, he has used some of the battalion members to scare Jews into fleeing to Israel. Putin's militias in Donbass are doing the same thing. In the Russian-backed Donetsk People's Republic, the government handed out leaflets saying Jews have to register their religion and property or face deportation. Now, can you imagine if the Ukrainians did this? Whitney would be kvetching endlessly about Nazi death squads. Kolomoisky and Putin are both in bed with Chabad Lubavitch and have helped Israel get its pipeline of Ukrainian Jews. A lot of the Kremlin shills will point to a Jewish oligarch getting rich off Ukraine, then say that this conflict is about Zionists versus Russia. This is absolutely false. Putin has turned dozens of Jews into oligarchs in Russia. Israel is not sanctioning Russia for its annexation of Crimea. The West is. Trade between the two countries improved by 25% since the start of the conflict. If Putin hates Israel so much, why the hell would he endorse Bibi for another term as prime minister? Both Bibi and Putin got what they wanted out of Ukraine while the people suffered. Dugin even admits that Putin is not against Israel. He's against the West.
That was Israel. Russian state, Putin personally, has nothing against Israel, so, or against Jews. So normally, in our society, we have no hostility toward Jews or toward Israel. And more than that, we have many Russian Jews that live that are living there. So there is a kind of sympathy for Israel and for Jews in Russia in general. So being anti-West, anti-NATO.
Whitney said, quote, "The U.S. seeks to enable the Ukrainian government to bring not only the Donbass, but also Crimea into the fold of the government in Kiev. This, after all, is Poroshenko's stated goal." So what? The Ukrainians have every right to try to take back Donbass and Crimea. That is their country. Whether you like Poroshenko or not, to criticize him for that is absolutely retarded. Whitney spends a lot of her time criticizing Israel for violating international law. And she's correct on that. But then she defends Russia's violations of international law and even has the chutzpah to source Human Rights Watch, who also agrees that Russia is violating international law in Ukraine. Hugh Williamson, Europe and Central Asia director at Human Rights Watch, said, quote, "As an occupying power, Russia not only has no right to conscript people in Crimea, but its draft is blatantly violating international law." Doubling down on this violation, Russian authorities are also pressing criminal charges against people who refuse to serve in its armed forces. After Stalin expelled the Crimean Tatars, the majority of people in Crimea are now ethnically Russian, but there are still Ukrainians living there. If they refuse to kill their own people, Putin will press criminal charges against them. To grasp how insane this is, imagine if Israel started drafting Palestinians into the IDF. I'll explain how disinformation works. Zion Frotson and Whitney both do a great job of criticizing Israel. Because of that, a lot of people will then believe whatever outrageous things they say, such as Israel hates Putin or that the Ukrainian government is ordering its troops to exterminate over a million of its ethnically Russian citizens. Even some of my fans are mad at me for calling out Whitney. It's not that I disagree with her on certain issues, but ask yourself, how the hell can someone in their right mind spend most of their time criticizing US imperialism, then defend Russian imperialism and pretend it's not violating international law?
Therefore, all of a sudden you discover well-established lawyers in a country like Nicaragua, who are, for some strange reason, are bitterly against quote-unquote American imperialism and idealistically for Soviet Marxist-Leninist imperialism.
Well, what right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
Well, it's due because we lost 6 million people.
No. I'm not arguing about that. I'm going to come on to that. But what right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
We had the right because we lost 6 million people and we did not have a home.
Well, yeah, I'm going to ask you for a third time. What right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
Well, they didn't. Well, they were giving us the right because it was we were. They were basically gave us because of the.
But they gave you somebody else's country. That's the point I'm making, Alex. Can you deal with it?
Russia has not invaded Ukraine. If Russia invaded Ukraine, the war would have been over in an afternoon. Because anybody that thinks Russia can be played with militarily doesn't know the facts of life. If Russia wanted to, it could end this war this evening.
Look, when I first started YouTubing, I considered myself a part of this anti-war movement. Now, I realize it was a Marxist operation from the beginning. No, I don't support bombing Syria. A lot of these anti-war activists will spend most of their time talking about how evil their own countries in the West are, meanwhile supporting Russian imperialism and are all tied to RT or Sputnik. Both Whitney and George Galloway are against Israel violating international law, which I agree with. But then they defend Russia's violations of international law and pretend it's not happening. They're hypocrites. Abby Martin, who works for RT, criticized the annexation of Crimea because she didn't want to lose all credibility as an anti-war activist. Whitney did what her boss told her and ran the most shameful Kremlin propaganda. After I called her out, she said that she doesn't cover Russia because she's not an expert or particularly well-versed on Russian politics. This is further proof that she doesn't know what the hell is going on in Ukraine. She just pushes whatever narrative coming out of the Kremlin.
Can we see that clip now?
Your name is, but you're also responsible for thousands of deaths in my country. And Russia today, who financed by Kremlin, lie about my country, lie about Ukraine. That's why I don't want to communicate with you. And I call to my international colleague, don't cooperate with Russia today.
Could you just tell us a little bit more about... Okay, very good. Okay.
Galloway has his own show on Sputnik, which is funded by the Russian government. Now, let's take a look at Whitney's boss, Manar Muhawesh, the CEO and editor-in-chief of Midpress News. Most of her website is dedicated to criticizing the US. Meanwhile, she censors criticism of Russia. Richard Silverstein, who was a contributor at Midpress News for several years, wrote an article about the KGB's infiltration of Israeli military and political system. Then Manar took down his article. Manar doesn't just do shows inside RT's studio. They give her airtime to promote Midpress News. They obviously have a business relationship. Former head of the KGB, Yuri Andropov, who was Jewish, promoted criticism of Israel in Muslim countries. Why? He did it to increase anti-American hatred. They are doing the same thing today in America. Manar uses her anti-war platform to say, oh, look how racist Uncle Sam is.
Communist countries for 100 years have used the strategy of smearing the West, aka America, as being the racist demon of the planet.
She promotes Black Lives Matter. Here's an article from her website saying that the US Supreme Court emphasizes constitutional color blindness, which allows it to avoid confronting the judiciary's role in perpetuating racial discrimination in the US. She also promotes Antifa propaganda, claiming that police threw a peaceful Antifa protester to the ground.
Come on, back up.
The hatred, the mistrust to the people who are supposed to protect you and enforce law and order.
Manar doesn't just promote Black Lives Matter and Antifa. She also promotes LGBT despite supposedly being a Muslim.
All of a sudden we see a homosexual. 15 years ago, he did his dirty job and nobody cared. Now he makes it a political issue. He demands recognition, respect, human rights.
Midpress News is clearly a Marxist outlet funded by the Kremlin. The KGB promotes cultural Marxism in their target countries, but not their own.
You cannot subvert Soviet citizens because the magazine never reaches Soviet citizens. It's collected from the newsstands and thrown to garbage can. Subversion can be only successful when the initiator, the actor, the agent of subversion has a responsive target. It's a two-way traffic. United States is a receptive target of subversion.
I'm sure some will try to discredit me and say that I'm taking the blame off a certain group. I'm going to show you evidence that Putin has the same goals for his opponents as they do. We saw KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov say that they were promoting cultural Marxism in the United States, but not in the Soviet Union. They still do this. Bachmann, co-founder of the Finnish Anti-Fascist Committee, works for Russian intelligence. He serves as the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies representative in Northern Europe. The RISS is headed by Mikhail Fradkov, who was the head of Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service from 2007 to 2016. He is very close to Putin. He is Jewish, and he was selected by Putin to become prime minister in 2004. Bachmann is a leader of Antifa, which fights for cultural Marxism in the West. Meanwhile, he doesn't support cultural Marxism in Russia. He has organized demonstrations in favor of imprisoning Pussy Riot. Yevgeny Prigozhin, who works with the GRU, Russian Military Intelligence, uses his internet research agency's group, LGBT United, to promote cultural Marxism in the West, but it doesn't promote cultural Marxism in Russia.
MIA, third world democracy. Yeah, I got more records than the KGB. So, no funny business. You already are.
The main purpose of cultural Marxism is to destroy your target country from within by way of ideological subversion. You'll often see people on the right promote Putin as a savior because he doesn't allow global homo in his own country. What these idiots fail to realize is that Putin is pushing global homo on his target countries in the West.
Think about it from his perspective, namely the totalitarian perspective. If you want to create an empire with Russia at its center based on Finlandization, now do you want strong families and especially strong men in your buffer territories or in the territories of your enemy? Of course not. You want them to be as weak as possible, so tolerating genderist madness is actually to your advantage. Now, let that sink in for all those alt-right keyboard warriors who claim to oppose degeneracy but then sing praises to Putin and invite Dugin at their own conferences.
I want to say thanks to Sean Jobst for this next batch of important articles. Putin's propaganda campaign in Ukraine is ran by Jewish oligarch Boris Spiegel, the president of World Without Nazism. He's in bed with Chabad Lubavitch and has served in the Russian Federation Council for 10 years. In 2008, he accused Georgia of genocide and ethnic cleansing to justify Russia's military intervention backing their separatists. In 2014, he also accused Ukraine of genocide and ethnic cleansing to justify Russia's military intervention backing their separatists. His organization said, quote, "The absence of the international community's reaction can repeat the Kristallnacht for non-Ukrainians and other ethnic minorities. Only those who want to see Europe under Nazi and radical nationalists will condemn Crimea. They urge world leaders to take concrete measures to protect human rights and prevent violence and genocide in Ukraine." Whitney's propaganda against Ukraine comes straight out of Boris Spiegel's WWN. I'm not saying she has met Spiegel, I'm saying that the narrative her boss told her to promote is virtually identical to the WWN's narrative. There are ethno-nationalists all over Europe. What Putin's neocons are doing is pointing to ethno-nationalists in Ukraine, then using that to justify Russia taking over part of that country. If you believe Whitney and Chabad Lubavitch are telling the truth, and that the Ukrainian government is ordering its troops to execute whatever ethnic Russians and non-Ukrainians they could find? Why are people from all over Europe, including Russians, volunteering to fight for Ukraine?
Russia.
Is Russia? Yeah. This guy's from Russia here. Откуда из России?
Пермь.
Из Пермь, да? from the city of Perm. А почему вы решили воевать с правым сектором?
Здесь реально борются за свою свободу. В России, сами знаете, нельзя сказать, нельзя сделать. То есть смерть Российской Федерации.
He just said death to the Russian Federation. Not actually a battle against Russia, because I have no problem with the Russian people. I have a problem with, we call them Moscolites, idiots who believe every word of Putin. Separatists doesn't scare me. So if they want to come for me, they are more than welcome. Yes, I heard they will pay 80,000 for my head, so please come and take it.
Tablet describes WWN as a Kremlin-flavored anti-defamation league. And that's exactly what it is. The ADL smears anyone opposing Israel as an anti-Semite. WWN smears Ukrainians, Lithuanians, Latvians, and Estonians as fascists for opposing Russian influence. Its mission is to promote the spread of anti-fascist ideology to the newly independent states of the former Soviet Union. In 2007, the Estonian government decided to remove a Soviet-era war memorial. Then the WWN sent in their Antifa goons to riot, which resulted in one person dead and over 100 wounded. The intelligence services of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia all classified WWN as a Russian-sponsored front organization. Antifa leader Bachmann, who works for Russian intelligence at the RISS, is also a governing board member of WWN. Putin uses Antifa to fight his war in Ukraine, and he uses them to handle the propaganda for his invasion. Now you know why Antifa is chanting Stop Russophobia, and why the alt-right is chanting Russia is our friend.
Russia is our friend!
Russia is our friend!
Russia is our friend!
Russia is our friend!
Some of you alt-right followers are going to rallies and cheering for Russia. Meanwhile, Russia is sending Antifa goons to beat you with sticks. You guys are the definition of useful idiots. Now, let's look at Arnold Meri, who headed the Estonian Anti-Fascist Committee. Estonian authorities charged him with genocide because in 1949, he organized the deportation of 251 Estonian civilians, mostly women and children, to a gulag in Siberia, where 43 of them died. He admitted his involvement, but claimed he didn't use violence against them as they were shipped by train. If you hold 61 children at gunpoint, then send them to a gulag where most of them die of slave labor, you are responsible for their deaths. After he died, Dmitry Medvedev celebrated him as a hero and awarded him the Russian Medal of Honor. Medvedev is Putin's bro and handled presidency from 2008 to 2012 while Putin was on break. Not the brainwashed leftists, but the highest levels of Antifa work for Russian intelligence. This is just like how the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee worked for Soviet intelligence. Not much has changed.
But Israel has been the only one that has continued to annex land directly against the Geneva Conventions, which of course they never signed because they didn't exist yet when they were made.
Well, China annexes land. China, well, not technically land, but they annex the South China Sea and the Spratly Islands, and they build artificial islands. Russia annexed Crimea. Russia annexed Abkhazia. Well, no,
Crimea was originally part of Russia.
Here's another so-called anti-war activist who goes on about how it's wrong for countries to violate international law, but then pretends Russia is not violating international law. Zion Frotzen calls himself a peace activist, but he's really the Kremlin's version of Douglas Feith.
Who are, for some strange reason, are bitterly against quote-unquote American imperialism and idealistically for Soviet Marxist-Leninist imperialism.
My point is that most of the anti-war movement works for the Kremlin. As a result, most people in the alt-media community believe that Russia is liberating Crimea, when in fact it installed a totalitarian government. Just like how I showed you there's no freedom of speech in Russia, same thing now applies to Crimea. Look what's happening to the Crimean Tatars who have been there for centuries. Crimean Tatar leader Ilmi Umarov criticized Russia's actions in Crimea, then was charged with separatism and was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Meanwhile, the Kremlin is arming separatists who are illegally occupying Donbass. The hypocrisy is truly amazing.
Russia annexed Crimea. Russia annexed Abkhazia. Well,
no, Crimea was originally part of Russia.
When it comes to Crimea, the most common thing you'll hear is that Russia has the right to annex it because it used to be a part of Russia. Texas used to be a part of Mexico, and there's a hell of a lot of Mexicans in Texas. Does Mexico have the right to invade and annex Texas? Yes, many Russians are happy that Russia annexed Crimea, just as Mexicans would be if Mexico annexed Texas. But for Americans who would have to be ruled over by the Mexican government, that would be a travesty. And that's the situation that the Ukrainians and Crimean Tatars are in. Russian special services seized the parliament building and military bases in Crimea, then held their own referendum in someone else's country, which is why a vast majority of all countries don't recognize it. Just like when Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and a vast majority of all countries didn't support it. Furthermore, Russia's referendum in Crimea was clearly a sham. The so-called international observers they chose to invite were Russian intelligence. Bakhman of the RISS is a certified Kremlin propagandist. This is not a rational person. He is an extremist. He wrote on his blog, quote, "In my opinion, speaking or writing of Soviet occupation should be criminalized as a form of racist propaganda. I demand 5 years prison sentence to everyone who dares to say Estonia was occupied by the Soviet Union." He also claimed that Estonia has an apartheid regime. To top all that off, he said that Stalin was very gentle and sweet. Russian intelligence asset Xavier Moreau was one of the international observers invited to the DPR and LPR's general elections in 2018 in occupied Donbass. He is a former paratrooper who holds dual French-Russian citizenship. He owns the Moscow-based Sokol Holdings that employs former members of French Army elite troops and Russian security services. He is the president of StratPol, a pro-Russian think tank. He even admits on his own website that Putin facilitates obtaining Russian passports in Donbass. He also pleads his case for Stalin being a Russian nationalist. Like Bakhman, Moreau spends a lot of his time pushing Kremlin propaganda. He wrote two books titled Ukraine, Why France Was Wrong, and New Great Russia, From the Collapse of the USSR to the Return of Vladimir Putin. He also works for RT France. And keep in mind, Moral will come back up just before the end of this documentary.
Гитлер капут, а дело его живет.
Whether or not this is case, that the country is headed down into a path of fascism.
One of the key components of American fascism is something called monopoly.
Антироссийская политика НАТО и ЕС способствует возрождению фашизма в Европе.
Пособники фашистов стали героями.
Явные признаки фашизма.
Which is ironic considering in Ukraine they just had a violent overthrow, a coup d'etat. How credible is that? Where you've got what they call them ultra-nationalists, let's just say what it is, they're fascists.
But to the people in Ukraine and Venezuela, they have legitimate issues with their own governments. Their governments are corrupt. Their governments are keeping them impoverished. Both of these nations are large enough, have enough arable land and enough natural resources. Ukraine's full of natural gas, by the way, to easily become industrialized first world nations. They have the ability to do it with foreign investment and partnerships and trade. They have the ability. They're being held back by the fact that they are sucking the cock of Putin, and the people have woken up to this and realized, why should we remain poor while our government takes all of our money and keeps us in the Stone Age? I'm not surprised that these people are protesting right now in large numbers. The majority of the population of both of these countries now supports the opposition, largely because of the brutality of the regimes that are currently holding power.
When looking into this conflict, you'll often see comments by Russian trolls claiming that the Ukrainians are at fault for choosing to be with the evil West instead of Russia. Putin's puppet Yanukovych looted the wealth of Ukraine and buried that country into debt. Not only do Ukrainians have a bad history with Russia, but the Kremlin still dehumanizes them. It denies their genocide. It allows government advisors to promote a new genocide. It can label any Ukrainian a terrorist and then send him to the Gulag for 20 years. And now Putin's government in Crimea has ordered the demolition of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
Все это правильно, должна быть украинская держава независимая и нормальная европейская. Я, например, мне 46 лет уже, да, я родился, вырос еще в Советском Союзе. Я помню то все. И я вам скажу, что я воюю против совка. У меня маленькая дочь, 2 годика, и я не хочу, чтобы она жила при совке, понимаете?
Would you want your daughter to grow up in a Soviet state where she can go to prison for 7 years if she criticized the government? The Kremlin has been censoring criticism of the Soviet Union for a long time. As a result of this, almost half of Russians surveyed at ages 18 to 24 have never heard of Stalin-era repressions. Even Putin himself promotes pro-Stalin propaganda. Just recently he said, quote, "To say that Stalin unleashed the war is the height of cynicism." Germany and the Soviet Union both invaded Poland, but only Germany got blamed. Not to mention the fact that the Soviets occupied Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, parts of Poland, Romania, and Finland. In his book titled Stalin's Folly, award-winning Russian historian Konstantin Pleshchikov writes that Stalin was waiting for Britain and Germany to exhaust themselves, then he would have advanced the West and taken even more of Europe. The ultimate goal of the Soviet Union had always been to launch a world revolution. The Soviet Union's second flag even depicted a hammer and sickle over the entire world. Earlier we saw RT deny the Holodomor, Stalin's genocide of Ukrainians. Now here's Samira Khan, who works for RT, promoting Stalin on Twitter, saying that capitalists fooled you. She claims that Stalin's gulags were not slave labor, but instead a luxury and privilege to be in. Statues of Stalin are going up all over Russia. In 2017, Russians voted Stalin the most outstanding person in history, with Putin taking second place. In 2019, Stalin's approval rating is now at an all-time high, with 70% of Russians approving his role in Russian history. Putin is a hypocrite. He criminalizes the rehabilitation of Nazism. Meanwhile, he's clearly rehabilitating communism.
Strikingly unpleasant to me. Communism and church can coexist. Can they? Well, you should ask Russian Orthodox priests who were literally exterminated by the Soviet communists. Communism and church can coexist. I don't think so. Catholic Times, I collected this newspaper in a Catholic church, which I attend, although I'm Orthodox Christian, as Russians, most of them are. But I do come to Catholic church because my wife is a Catholic, so I don't see much difference, because God, I suppose, is one. So Jesus Christ is also the same, which church, whichever you go. But Christians and socialism is something that doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know, how about you?
KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov says that communism and church can't coexist. Meanwhile, former KGB agent Putin says that communism and church can coexist. Quote, "There were those years of militant atheism when priests were eradicated, churches destroyed, but at the same time a new religion was being created. Communist ideology is very similar to Christianity. In fact, freedom, equality, brotherhood, justice, everything is laid out in the Holy Scripture, it's all there. And the code of the builder of communism, this is sublimation, is just such a primitive excerpt from the Bible, nothing new was invented. He even compared Lenin to a saint, saying, look, Lenin was put in a mausoleum. How is this different from the relics of saints for Orthodox Christians and just for Christians? When people in London glorify communism, they're shamed for it, and rightfully so. But when Putin glorifies communism, the alt-right gives him a free pass. Putin renamed an elite police unit after Felix Dzerzhinsky, the founder of the Cheka, which became the KGB. He was a Bolshevik who mass-murdered Christians. These three men combined probably killed the most Christians in human history, yet Putin celebrates them. This is where I started second-guessing Putin. I would ask myself, how could someone who was a member of the Communist Party for 16 years, which killed Christians, go on to become the savior of Christianity? This narrative in alt media that Putin is saving Christianity from the New World Order doesn't make any sense at all, especially considering his government is planning to demolish the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Crimea. If Putin was sincerely Christian, he wouldn't do this. During the 140th anniversary of Bulgaria's independence from the Ottoman Empire, Russian Patriarch Kirill of Moscow said that Bulgaria was liberated by Russia, not by Poland, Lithuania, or Finland, and accused the Bulgarians of diminishing Russia's role in the event. Deputy Prime Minister of Bulgaria, Valery Simeonov, later fired back in an interview and said, quote, this man has not descended from heaven. He is not a messenger of Jesus Christ. Kirill is known as the cigarette metropolitan of Russia. Since 1996, he has earned $14 billion on duty-free imported cigarettes to Russia. This cunning fellow earned $14 billion on cigarettes and $4 billion on importing wine under the pretense of church needs and without paying excess duties. He has a private aircraft, a villa in Switzerland, a $30,000 watch. What is he? He is not an Eastern Orthodox cleric. He is Agent Mikhailov, a second-class agent of the Soviet KGB, which is proven. And this person has the conscience to give us lectures about the truth in front of the president?
Патриарх Украины Филарет рассказывал мне о том, что ни одно назначение в церкви без согласования с КГБ не проходило. Что все руководители церкви так или иначе имели отношение с КГБ.
Абсолютно однозначно правильно. И я могу сказать так. Я, во-первых, знаком со всеми патриархами, ну, послевоенными, начиная с Пимена, Алексей и нынешний Кирилл. Это мои приятели вообще.
Patriarch Kirill, who promotes Putin as a savior of Christianity, is a KGB agent. He was also outed by former KGB Major General Oleg Kalugin. As Bezmenov said, most Russians are Orthodox Christian. If you're exploiting the wealth of the country, you need to manipulate the masses into supporting you. The richest 3% of Russians hold almost 90% of the country's financial assets. And a majority of Russian families have no savings. I'm sure some people are going to accuse me of pushing fake news, so let's do some fact-checking. This is from the Russian outlet Kommersant Business Daily. The wealthiest 3% of Russians owned 89% of all financial assets in 2018, and this is according to joint research by the Higher School of Economics and the state-run VEB Bank. In 2019, a survey from the Russian NGO Lavada, which RT also sources, found that approximately 65% of Russian families had no savings. And according to Lavada's sociologist Stepan Goncharov, it's been like that since 2012. Putin's been president that entire time.
Because Putin's a nationalist, and Israel hates nationalists.
Russia surpasses the US in wealth inequality. Zion Frodson always goes on about how corrupt the US is and how great Russia is, when in fact both countries have major problems. You even have journalists in Taiwan asking, Why is Russia outpacing China in income inequality? You want to know why Putin worships Lenin and Stalin? Because his grandfather was Lenin and Stalin's personal cook. He admitted this in a 2018 Russian documentary named after himself. He said, quote, "When grandfather worked with Stalin, my father visited him and was even led into their house and could observe how they lived." He also mentions that it was remarkable they weren't purged, like many in Stalin's inner circle, and said, "They were probably valued for being trustworthy people."